Good morning. This morning we are a bit thinned out. We got Compass visiting another church in Alabama, and the teens are up in Tennessee, but we're going to have a great time, amen? I hope that that video helped you rethink your prayer life. Because for the most part, we pray to get something from God. But it says we got to be praying and being open to God's will. Now, that's a hard thing to do, at least for me. I know that. Because you pray with a plan and what you want. So why aren't you giving to me, God? And God is saying, no, you pray, but be open to my will. Now, that is where it can go wrong with prayer. So we think that if God doesn't give it to me, then something is wrong with what I'm doing. Maybe my prayer style. Maybe I need to do more of this and more of that. Maybe something is wrong. And we run all the checks. Have I confessed all the sins? And all that stuff is good. But that doesn't necessarily move God to give you what you want. It has to be in God's will. So the question this morning is, are you open to God's will for your life? That is a hard question because everybody has a plan. But are you open to God's will? And how it will turn out gradually? Because we have a way of shaping the world in our minds and humanizing God to a point of, if this doesn't happen, then I'm failing. How do you know? How do you know what God is trying to do with your life? But when you see what God is up to, you really come alive and you embrace what He's trying to do with you. Here, promises and conditions. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So we read that scripture and say, okay, I've got to ask. It'll be given to me. I'll knock and the door will be opened. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus went to pray just before He went on the cross 3 times. And He prayed and came to a place of, may your will be done. Take this cup from me, but may your will be done. And He came to that place, and you know that He went on the cross. But God's name was glorified, and He accomplished way much more compared to not feeling the pain of going to the cross. So if we take that understanding, and you're asking for something, and you're praying many times, and God is saying, we're going to get you to the cross. The cross is the place you come to when you surrender your will and say, God, what are you trying to do? So the conflict with prayer is that we always have our own will. And God is always saying, well, are you going to surrender to me though? Until you come to that place where you let go of what you really want, because that becomes your small God. And that gets in the way of you hearing God. And that gets in the way of you understanding God's will. So the fight ensues inside you. You never see what God is trying to do with your life. And that's what Jesus did. He got to that place. And said, may your will be done. It's a peaceful place. It gives you freedom. It allows you to see what God is at work and what He's trying to do in your life. You begin to enjoy, and you no longer base your joy based on the results you're getting, but on who God is. The truth be told is that many of us are unhappy because we are waiting for God to give us what we want, the way we want, how we want it done, and it's not coming that route. It's going to come a route of God. His way, His timing, the way He does it, in a very, it's not humanistic at all. Because the human way is you go, you put in an ATM card and the money comes out. It may not come like that at all with God. You may put in an ATM and wait a few days before the money comes out. And so that for us is frustrating. It's not working according to me. What time? I need it right now. God says, wait. So yes, you're knocking, but it will come in His time. Yes, you're seeking, but a different way. In essence, Christ's prayer was denied, but progression was done. When you read this chapter, it starts up with talking about the Lord's Prayer, and it talks about the neighbor that who goes to sleep, but at night a visitor comes and is knocking, and he tells us that he'll wake up because he's unashamed and is knocking and is persistent, so he's hard. And we've got to be persistent, but sometimes the lesson is that we change and we realize that we don't really need what we're asking for because we get stronger in our faith. So what is it in your life that you keep knocking, persisting, and you're upset with God maybe, or discouraged, or holding back, but you don't know what God is trying to do with your life? What is it that you're trying to go after, but you're not open to, may your will be done? That is a place we have to come to. For prayers to begin to be effective, we have to come to this place of, may your will be done. Because then we open ourselves to the possibilities of what God can do. Then we begin to see what God is doing in our lives. But when we are angry, set in our ways, we may knock, ask, seek. But we have a God that says, until I get this. So looking at my life, I have different stories I could tell you. The first time when I came to church, I became a disciple. I never wanted to be in the ministry. My plan was, okay, I'm going to go into hotel management, make some money there, get on to London, get another degree there, raise some cash, come on back, build my own hotel. All the Christians can come and stay sometimes, and I'll give them contribution to go preach the gospel. But I said, no, we need you to come and preach. I said, I don't think I'm the guy for that job. No, we need you. I said, I kept trying to say, I'm not sure this is what is meant for me because I have a plan. God is always working things differently. I want to travel the world, and I travel a lot by being a minister. But when you think about it, what is God trying to do with your life? You're stuck in a narrow place. Open yourself up to God and what He can do. It's an amazing thing when you say, may your will be done. You stop the control, and you start now surfing the wave of God. And you begin to enjoy what God is trying to do in your life, and the answers begin to make sense. Sometimes in hindsight, sometimes when you're right there. Does that make sense? So growing up is about moving from a time of prayer to a life of prayer. How different is that? We pray in the morning as a matter of training or teaching. Maybe the guy who studied the Bible with you told you got to pray in the morning. Start the day with God, and that's awesome. Now, if you start with God, what happens if you don't pray by 10 o'clock, by midday? You may have started off having a great time walking with God, but by midday you're losing it. You're angry, you're upset. Why? Because you're not praying about anything. By 6 o'clock, you're just out of control. But if you're praying about everything as you go along, and they're not long prayers. We know that Nehemiah said a short prayer, spoke with the king, and he was granted favor to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And they don't have to be long, but you can be saying prayers as you get through life, and then you move away from just a ritualistic operation to connecting with God throughout your day. This is when our lives begin to transform. If you want to talk about being able to reach out to people, pray about it. I mean, I've been praying to God, and God has been leading me to just different people. And I hear stories of people who are praying and how God leads them to people. You see, when we operate in this world of prayer on a day, hour to hour, and not just morning and mealtime, it's amazing. But when we just do it in the morning and during a meal, it's boring. How many ways can you pray about a meal anyway? And then we just pray in the morning, and sometimes we pray the same prayer until it's mundane in how it's done. It's no longer real. We're not connecting to God. So we got to understand how this power works when He says all this. Be specific. Your fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give... Sorry, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? That'll be dangerous. Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So here's the question. I'm asking for this, and God has given me that. I'm asking for this, and God is... And then we wonder, but He says, if that's how He treats us, We need to be specific. So let's talk about being specific in prayer. Again, we have to remember where we just started from. That you have to come to a place of, may your will be done. But how many of us are really specific about, God, show me what you need me to do? We are afraid of that prayer. So what happens, we think, I wish God can do this for me. But when we pray, we go around it. We're not specific. We're in general terms. We're not saying, God, here's what I think. Because we're not ready to commit to God 100% yet in that area. So we're trying God. We're saying, let's see what God does. But we're never giving 100% of ourselves to that area. There are times when I've prayed about things and even given up or forgotten about them. And God answered. But I was very specific about it. And I looked back. My family would have all kind of things we'll pray. We'll put in a prayer jar. We'll put all that. And my wife started this. He would get us to put our dreams and put them in the prayer jar. And we'll pray it. At the end of the year, all of them are answered. But sometimes we don't remember what happened. We once prayed to go for a holiday from Kenya to San Francisco. It happened. I told him I didn't have the money. My wife says, let's pray about it. I was talking to another guy. That guy says, you know, you're coming. I can help pay for your kids. I say, okay, let's make it happen. It happened. I learned not to tell them I don't have the money from that day on. Because they'll tell me, Dad, sometimes you're Mr. No Money. I learned to keep quiet when I'm about to say, well, I'm not sure about that. Say, okay, keep going with your faith on this one. We look at the environment around us that makes us stop to pray specific prayers. The other problem we face is time. We say, but I want it to happen by today. It can happen 2 years later because you weren't ready then. So we live 2 years frustrated, angry, resentful. We should be enjoying the journey. Those 2 years trying to figure out what God is doing is preparing our character and everything. Let God lead you on that one. Does that make sense? I mean, I love cars. I remember praying for my first car and say, God, give me a VW Mach 4 engine, a 6-cylinder. I want that car for my first car. But God didn't give me that. He gave me a Mazda 323, 18 years old. I actually prayed in the morning. I got the call in the evening. Yes. My auntie called, said, you want a car? I said, yeah. I don't have the money. She says, you can pay this for 5 years, whatever amount you decide. That was a great deal. And I said to myself, in hindsight, I was ready to gun that car to death. So God said, I'm going to give you a car that no matter how hard you gun, you're going nowhere. So we don't see that. And I look at how I drove back then. I say, oh God, thank you so much. Because the driving was erratic and high speed. And I think about that. I said, you know, God is always working out for your good, but you don't see it because you're so stuck on, I want this. So you don't take the journey here and get there. You see, prayer works when you begin to connect in that sense, because God is at work in prayer. It's not just, prayer is not an ATM place where you just put in prayer ATMs and then here comes the answers. No. It's a connection. It's a change of life. God is putting work in you. You know why prayer is hard for most people? It's emotional. And many of us have been socialized to think emotion is a bad thing. Not when it's channeled to God. When it's out of control, it's a bad thing. But when it's channeled to God, it's not a bad thing at all. It helps you. It brings about the depth of who you are and who God is. That is something we've got to embrace. So it can be hard. At least for me, I know I tend to read more than pray. But when real life comes to the head, I got to pray and I get there. And I know when I'm getting there. It's different. I can surrender to God. So be specific. Be specific and give it to God when you've done it. And enjoy your life in the meantime. But be specific. Because when God says no, you will know. Why are we afraid of being specific? We've got to know when God has said no. And let it go. And have a good time. Let's talk about being united. And I know it's not conformity. I understand that. But being united. But some of them said, now the story continues in the same chapter. So this discussion continues with Jesus. They say to him, but some of them said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan. The prince of the demons, others trying to test Jesus, demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He knew their thoughts, so he said, any kingdom divided by the civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. Sometimes you're praying as a family, but are you in agreement? Maybe praying about your finances, are you in agreement? We want to give this amount of mission. Are you in agreement in that prayer? To missions, rather. When we're not united, we're split, we cannot function. But let me even go further. Are you in agreement, your heart, mind, and soul? Are they in agreement as you pray? That this is what God's will is. Because sometimes our mind is here, our soul is here. We're not aligning ourselves to God's will, all over us. And so it's very noisy. It's hard to hear God because there's so much turmoil running in the system. Emotion, thoughts, anger, resentfulness. And sometimes it becomes our climate that we think that that's the way it's supposed to be. Oh no, you can come to a place of clarity. I kid you not, I've prayed and seen the answer like I lived that life before. So why do I think I've seen this before? It was during prayer. There are times I'd pray and said so clearly, I said, I need to stop, but I continued. I said, I forgot what the answer was, but well, God will figure it out anyway. And yeah, you can pray long and short, but I'm telling you, there's value in connecting with God. Here's my concern. I think that many of us are divided by the demands of life. The demand to get going, to get to the office, to get to the roads, with the highway now is broken down, the traffic has increased, and all that stuff. All those demands increase anxiety, and all the things that it creates in a soul, that we can't hear God, that we cannot be united totally in our souls and really connect with God. Then you bring that into your family setup, and we're not talking. We have discord, dissension that we can allow to fester for long without us talking through that stuff and making sure that we are coming to a place of resolution so that we're united as we pray together. Amen? What about as a church? Are we united? We come from a different background, different thinking, different everything. But you got to learn to be united. You know, unity is not about being the same, but it's having the same heart and compassion and conviction about what God says. You may come about it differently, but you have the same conviction about that those issues. So as a church, we got to be united about the missions and what God is saying there. Does that make sense? Let's get focused. Let's help out with the missions and help the church of God in the places of the world to grow. Does that make sense? We've got to be united about helping other souls to know God. You got to pray about that. This God, show me someone I can share my faith with. I went to the gym where it's one of my fishing ponds. So I was out there just doing my exercises. And this guy kept talking to me. And he's been there for a long time. He's one of the instructors. And I said, this must be the guy. Now, the first day, I hesitated a little bit. The next day I came in, I realized it's time to talk about this issue. And I told him, would you like to do this? He says, yeah, I want to come to that. I want to come to International Sunday. But I was praying about it. I prayed about it. I took some two cards. I went to the UPS shop. I was talking to some other guy. I gave them my name. It was a conversation point. Before I knew it, we were talking about God. My point is, if you pray about it, you see it. That is true about your job. That is true about your life. That is true about your finances. That is true about your children. That is true about yourself. Yet we don't pray. We don't pray. We're not united. We're not united with God when He says, you ask. We don't really believe that. We understand it. We don't believe it. We understand it because we read, we say, oh, that's what it says, but do we believe it? It's a different space when you understand and then you move to believe it. The space is not the same. When you believe, it's different. You surrender yourself to God. He moves you beyond your humanistic circumstance. He begins to break down the walls of disunity and you begin to be connected with Him. So unity starts with you. If not, who then? What is it in you that you get disunited about? It starts with you. It's very easy for me to paint at John and say, you know, it's his problem. It starts with me. I got to figure out why am I not connecting there. And maybe I may see something, and then we can talk about it, and it brings us to unity. But unity starts with me. So think about your family group. How united are you there? Think about the small things you do together. How united are you? And I'm grateful I'm talking to the adults today. I hope we can all be coming at 10. Amen? Let's be united on that. There's a lot coming out at 10. Good classes. Come at 10. We'll have a good time. Don't come at 11. Come at 10. Amen? And if you have need to walk on your heart on that, keep walking on it. Let's talk some more. But we're going to have a good time together. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't walking with me is actually walking against me. It's possible that you're not walking with God. And you're walking against Him by how you think about it. And how you think about prayer. Let me just finish this part. We can walk against each other without knowing we're doing that. You know, you can hold back your heart in certain areas. We like to call them, it's an opinion area. Well, I say, well, what does God call you on that opinion area to do? You still need to be godly there. Yeah, it's an opinion area, but be godly about how you go about it. Don't use that as my mantra. It's an opinion so I can speak my mind. You still, Jesus is still Lord even in opinion areas. Amen? That's not the only time you run away from Jesus. Stick with God even in that area, Jesus is Lord. And learn to be united in those areas. And God does amazing things when the church comes to that place. We become amazing. We can worship together, different generations, different races, because we no longer play our preferences. We agree that Jesus is Lord. Keep growing. That's something we need to understand. Now, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the personal to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and leave there. And so that person is worse off than before. As he was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, and the breast that nursed you. Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Let us talk about this for a moment. The idea that you can coast in your spiritual journey is not real. You're actually dying spiritually. It's the unsaid truth. You can coast. I have a stick car that I love. If you don't give it any gas, it goes nowhere. It just sits. But if you start doing some work with it, it's jumping. Spiritually, if you go to neutral, you start dying. You lose that momentum. And I think that many of us have gone to neutral spiritually. We're in a neutral place. You say, I've not left the church, but neither am I growing. I'm just there. I'm neutral. I have no strong passion about that. I don't feel anything. You've gone to so much a neutral space in life. You need to engage. The spirit leaves, yes, but he comes back looking for the place he swept. When he goes, looks for seven others and comes back, and your situation is worse off when you leave. But you may say, I've not left, but you can leave even though you sit here. Your soul left a long time, your heart left a long time, and it shows by how you give yourself to things. It shows in small things here and there. Don't tell kid yourself that because you come,
you're here. Maybe your heart left. You got to bring it back. The devil is always testing us on that. You swept it clean, but it's not enough to sweep it clean. Give it new furniture. Give it a new space, new color. It's not enough just to clean it. Give it a new lifestyle. So I ask you as a Christian, what's your lifestyle like? You have a Christian lifestyle, fun lifestyle, spiritual lifestyle. We've got to make sure that we're not just cleaning, but we are also growing. You cannot live your life defending and say, I don't do this, I don't do that. But what are you doing? Christianity is not just about I don't sin, I don't do this. It's what are you doing as well as you grow? And sometimes we're so defensive in how we live our lives. So we're not effective. We can't touch anyone because we're all about, I don't. But what are you doing as a Christian? How can you be more an attacking player, less than a defensive one? You got to do both to win. You got to do both to win. Otherwise, the devil is coming back. And we cannot sit in neutral spaces. We got to start growing of ourselves, our character, our attitude. Even difficult subjects begin to grow in that area and become more godly in that area. Does that make sense? As he was speaking, this woman was saying this, and it says, you know what? The angels replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Church, we get a lot of good information. Can we put it into practice? The theme this month is the power of prayer. Let us get prayerful and get out there. Talk to people about God, our families. Let's talk about God. Let's change. Let's enjoy being Christians.